مارك السهابة The Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة.
I tell you شكراً يا ربي شكراً, and I tell you when you are someone that is grateful, I tell you a lot of good things follows you, like the young man that we're talking to this morning, Zakir Kadwa, in a beautiful town called Umzinto. Yeah, Umzinto, and then you go to Umzinto, and you go to Ilovo, and you go to Kumas and Aluo Shoal, and all these are lovely, lovely places there, Uvongo and Pennington Beach. I can tell you, Zakir is giving me a big smile and a big thumbs up. Hey, when he takes his V12 Golf, he hits it from Pennington to Umzinto in, I think, 2 minutes, if I'm not mistaken. Zakir, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, how are you doing this fine, a beautiful Sunday morning?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And assalamu alaikum to our esteemed listeners. Uncle Jaffa, to be honest with you, I must say that the Johannesburg Harbour is looking absolutely beautiful this morning.
Well, you are really in another, what you had for breakfast to see the harbors in Johannesburg. You must be at something extraordinary this morning, Zakir.
I actually came to Johannesburg for the weekend, so I said, no, you know what?
Honestly.
Alhamdulillah.
I really thought you were pulling my leg, but you're a top, top, top guy. So yeah, tell me, what's the Johannesburg? I know we live in the coral reef. And you in the gold reef. Is it really golden there? How did they make harbors in Johannesburg? Tell me. I mean, I'm very intrigued. I mean, you know, anything can happen during this time. It's a funny world we're living in, Zakir.
Uncle Shafat, you are 100% right about that. I wouldn't put anything past anybody this day.
Yeah, absolutely. You don't know who's fair is foul, and foul is fair. That hovers through filth and dirty, dusty air. Yeah, Mr. Shakespeare, I rewrote your lines for you. This is South Africa. This is South Africa today. And, your experience, what brings you to Johannesburg, Zakir?
I had some business to attend to. So I said, inshallah, I brought my brother along with me as well to give me some company, mainly to make him drive. So we turned into a small holiday.
Yeah, and how was the G-Force and all? I hope you didn't break the speed limit and all that. How was the driving? How the brew drives? Is he a cool, calm driver like you?
He's got a good teacher and a good passenger that keeps him under control. So, alhamdulillah, he's learning and he's taking after me. So, shukar alhamdulillah for that.
Yeah, I like that. The confidence that oozes from you is absolutely astounding. And mashallah, I like that. I really like it. Well, we're looking at, the scenarios that's happening around in the country. You left Posey for Josie. And generally, people leave Josie for Durban. Yeah, but you left your Posey here in KwaZulu-Natal, and you've gone to Josie. And what would you tell people in Johannesburg? They may be asking, hey, Zakir, we want to come to the coast. Can we come near you in Umzinto? You got beaches there. You got your Pennington there. You got your Uvongo there. Talk to us about those different types of resorts that you have there in the South Coast. And how would you advise, Zakir?
Alhamdulillah, shukar, we have quite a bit of resorts on the South Coast. They range from caravan parks, campsites, to fully fledged four-star accommodation, five-star accommodation. It all depends on what the person is looking for. In my opinion, I look at a place for two reasons. One is golf and one is fishing.
So, I know that you got your golf and you got your fishing and you got all your golf shirts, all that done. And who does the printing? Because Vizy is big into printing. It's saying, Uncle Shafat, whatever you need, I'll get it printed. Is it you doing that, Zaki?
No. That's all to my father-in-law. He's an operator in the terms. We'll call it.
Hey, he's a smooth operator. Hey, Vizy, you listening? Yes, son-in-law told it to me. He's a cool smooth operator. And I tell you, Vizy gets everything done, Zakir. He gets everything done. And Allah keep him and bless him now and forever. Well, we also talk about all these things coming through. You got a surname that tickles my brain, Kadwa, KADWA. Now, Ahmed Didat was in his early stages during his Dawah mission. Certain Mr. Kadwa gave Mr. Ahmed Didat a large tract of land that was in Brema in Assalam, and that institute was built because of the magnanimity of Mr. Kadwa. Is there any relation between you and that Mr. Kadwa? Allah fill his qabr with nur and give him jannah for those that were so magnanimous and was instrumental in Ahmed Didat building this institute called Assalam, Zakir.
Azhar Shafat, you wouldn't believe, shukr alhamdulillah, we have such a good ta'alluq with each other. We've actually gone to the extent where we've got horses in Brema now as well. We created a small campsite where we, I wouldn't say a campsite. We've taken a warehouse and we've converted it half into a stable for horses. And the other half has a fully fledged kitchen, a namaz area. It's got a toilet, a shower, everything that you need. And it gives you the experience of living with the horses. It's absolutely beautiful.
Now, Zakir, why you didn't tell me this? I want to ride a horse, and I never rode a horse in my life. If I fall, I'll blame you. But you're such a cool guy. When you want to take me, you take your Uncle Shafat there, and maybe I put my microphones on and all those things. We do a live thing. I used to go to Assalam. I used to lecture there in the 80s, late 80s and 90s. You know, I used to do a lot of lecturing for the A class, they called it, those that were, that were brilliant in public works and all that. We motivated them to go and talk in public and so forth, and how to handle different scenarios. But this is brilliant news. There's a squash court there. I think they have their own water system, the irrigation system. And do they have their own solar panels and so forth? But they have produced some brilliant students. So in other words, I'm getting the sense from you. So you are from that same family that that sacrificed for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Zakir.
Angajivati, correct about that. My grandfather actually grew up in Brema, which is my dada. He grew up in Brema, and then eventually the Kadwas moved away to Amzinto first, and then they all spread out after that.
The Kadwas definitely made a name there. And as you say, when you look at that part of the world, and 99% of the students happen to be the indigent. They're coming from maybe other parts of Africa too. What is the latest? I mean, it's good to see young men from your family are also involved there. I know the Kamisa, Idris Kamisa, is also very relevant in that part of the world. But it really is an institution that is making its mark in Junubi Africa, Zakir.
Alhamdulillah, shukar. It's built from what it was before. It's got so many learners and so many teachers. It's unbelievable. And it's only been obtained through the mercy and grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we only hope that he intercedes for us, on the day of Qiyamah, and he pardons all our sins because of things like this. So, alhamdulillah.
I tell you, people, I just knew it, that this Kadwa here is related to that. The late Dr. Harun Kadwa, he was a, heart surgeon, I think. Yeah, I interviewed him many, 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 many years ago on another radio station on my medical show. Any relative of yours?
A connection. I know we Indian people say connections, we connections this way, that way, but he's quite close, actually. If I'm not mistaken, I think it's my dada's either first cousin or second cousin.
Alhamdulillah. So we got you. Vazi, you got a top son-in-law there. He's got the right contacts and all the right connections. And he says you are a smooth operator. He's a bigger operator than you. Yeah. He's a top lighty. Now, we're looking at the different blue flags, red flags, this color flags, and all the flags in Durban beaches. How would you advise people? I believe that the water and the sewage, how's it in your part of the world, in that side, lower south coast? You are the lower south coast. I'm in the mid south coast. How's the sewage and all those? Are you relatively safe there, Zaki?
From what I've seen or heard, and all the way from Margate right up to Bolito is not ideal to be dealing with the water at the moment. And the pollution in the water is not something that's to be taken lightly. I've seen jellyfish that have washed out onto the shore dead. It's a very, very sad sight to see.
Hey, sad indeed. The jellyfish too are dying, people, because of man's inhumanity to nature. And you can see how nature reacts and what happens, and all that is a reflection on us as insan being selfish. Yes, Harun, not shellfish, but selfish. Very selfish indeed. And yes, Zaki, there's a question on my screen. He says, Brother Shaf, a great chat with this young man. Perhaps a suggestion from me, get some camels. And I tell you, the whole Ummah will be flocking to As-Salam. Tell Zakir, go, boy, go. Hey, Zakir, that's a motivation for you.
Brother Jafar, we had camels. My uncle brought a couple of camels. We sold some, we slaughtered some for Bakri Eid. If I'm not mistaken, we still, he still has some. I'm not sure where they are, but there was camels there for a while, and people were going mad seeing those camels there.
Now, Zakir, it really, you know, it will be, you're talking about this. You are actually whetting the appetite of the Ummah around the world. And they're going to ask me, they'll say, what's Zakir's contact number? We want to go to As-Salam. It'll be a beautiful, beautiful tour indeed. Where Ahmadiyya's history is, where there's camels, where there's horses for you to ride. The chalets, they're still there, Zakir, where, you know, people can stay there and really get away far from the maddening crowd. Your reaction?
It's not actually a chalet. We created it for the cousins and for the uncles and stuff like that. A while back, we used to have a thing where once a month, we all get together, we go there, we have a braai, we talk stories around the fire, we stay awake till Fajr, and then, you know, we eat Fajr, wait for sunrise, have a coffee. Some of the boys actually say, you know what, I'm going on a horse ride now, first thing in the morning, and the other boys decide, no, you know what, it's time to sleep now, so it's Sunday, so... Alhamdulillah, we always, always, always have a good time when we go.
Now, what I want to know is, have you given father-in-law a ride on the horses? Because when it comes to jet ski, he's one of the finest riders of the jet ski in South Africa. He made world headlines when he was, you know, the recent floodings in Spingo Beach, where there was Vizy, Irshad Vizy, the hero of Spingo Beach that saved so many people, Zakir.
I'm actually waiting for my father-in-law to come to Bremer. Then, inshallah, I will take him on a ride. And but first, before the horse riding and everything, I want to take my father-in-law to play golf. Everybody thinks it's an easy sport, but after you try it, you realize, okay, you know what? This is not as easy as it looks. People just make it look easy. But so, yeah, I think we'll start with golf, Uncle Shafaz.
Well, you know, I played. I did play with my uncles and all that, and lots of concentration, lots of, you know, you need lots of time because you need to be cool, calm, and collected. You need to do your calculation. The wind is blowing this direction. You throw the grass up and you say, hey, okay, I have to hit against that at certain degrees. I must use this club. I must use that club. And I must get out of the bunkers and all that. Actually, for me, I'm more of a squash player, more of table tennis and cricket. And soccer. But when it came to golf, I said, hey, I'll leave that to Gary Player, and now I can leave it to you, Zaki.
Inshallah, I'm trying my best. Unfortunately, I've been to the golf range quite a bit. Shukr alhamdulillah, I have improved, but not to the extent where I can say I can play golf, you know, with full confidence. When I was explaining to my father the whole aspect of how I'm playing and things like that, his reaction was, oh, you know, golf is an old man's sport. So So I said, yeah. He's like, so he told me it's an old rich man's sport. And then he looked at me, and so I said, oh, okay, that makes sense. I'm young, number one, and I'm broke, number two. That's the reason why I can't play.
Hey, you're cool, they're cool. But don't worry. Wallahu khayrul raziqeen. And Allah says, I, Allah, I am the best of our providers. It's coming, Zakir. You got that B12, and then you've got a B24 and so forth. You can move it on. We're talking about brides on the beach. Something, you know, people need to know from you, because now you have become a connoisseur on the beach, on the seashores, on the seashores of the Indian Ocean. Talk about a bride on the beach, what you should do and what you should not do, Zakir.
Okay, so Uncle Shavat, number one is you should definitely have a bride on the beach. It is absolutely amazing. I love to do that. Unfortunately, people don't, clean up after themselves, because it's not their land. Sad to say, but it's because it's a public area, so they feel that they're not obliged to clean up after themselves. So number one, I would say, is fire safety. Before you light that fire, you need to know that you're lighting the fire in the right place, and it's not going to affect anybody. Even if worst case scenario, something has to happen, the bride stand has to fly, it has to fall, it's not going to cause harm to anybody. It's not going to cause damage to anything. So that will be my number one. Number two is cleanliness. We use polystyrene cups, we use paper plates, we use, if you buy your meat, it comes in a polystyrene a container with a plastic at the top. These things are not biodegradable. We have to make sure and emphasize the fact that these things get thrown away, because unfortunately, our beaches are filthy. If you look at Durban Harbour, it is absolutely filthy. And during the flood time, some of the Fanta bottles, the glass bottles, actually washed out. And one guy said that this bottle is over 20 years old.
Wow. It was older than you, Zakir.
I'm a little bit on the older side, but I haven't seen the bottle, so I really, really wouldn't know.
Hey, but yeah, but you know what? You should look deep into the bottle. There's a letter in the bottle for you. Yeah, you just have to open it. You check. Yeah, I know who wrote that letter, but there's a letter in the bottle for Zakir, people. Now, you know, we're talking about the popular resorts on the South Coast, and what we like to know, Zakir, how is the safety in these parts of the world? Because before, you were at midnight, you could be there on the beach, and you were relatively safe, no one to worry you. You could walk for hours and hours on the seashore at midnight and perhaps read your tahajjud on the shorelines. But today, you walk for 1 minute and someone's mugging you. Talk to us.
Uncle Shafaq, it is very, very sad to say, but in our country, there's no such thing as a safe beach. I mean, if you at the safest beach alone in the middle of the night, you are asking for trouble. You are definitely, definitely asking for trouble. Number two, I would say, is choose a public beach that a lot of people frequent. Besides fishermen, I'm talking about people that swim, people that launch boats. One good example is Durban South Pier. Besides that, my personal favorite is Scottsboro Beach. I have friends who fish for sharks as like a sport. They catch and release. They prefer fishing at night. So if you go there at 2 o'clock in the morning, you'll find them sitting at the beach. But I've never one day seen less than 5 in that group that go there. So if you are going somewhere late at night, even though it's safe, or even though it's a good area, regardless of that, you should always, always go with a crew of people. And, you know, don't ask for trouble. Don't ask for trouble. A lot of people will say, oh, I went to this beach and then this happened. But if you ask the finer details, the guy went alone, he went in a flashy vehicle, he went in a high-risk vehicle, things like that. So all of that really, really plays a part in things.
Yeah, you make a lot of sense there, Zakir. And you know what, generally, I know you're connected, as you said, and you know, maybe those spots that you're talking about, Uvongo, Pennington Beach, and so forth, you have a lot of boor friends. And these guys, they don't play fools. If anyone comes into town and they find them suspicious, they take them on there and then. Am I correct in my observations, Zakir?
Yeah, 100%. Every single town that I've seen or I've heard of has actually started a neighborhood watch, a night watch, things like that, and the guys are really, really on the ball. Alhamdulillah, in Amzinjo, we have a group of people, and we've combined the whole community together on one platform. Literally any suspicious activity at any given time, even if it's a man walking at 3 o'clock in the morning in a place where he's not supposed to be walking, it's reported. And alhamdulillah, we have security companies who respond immediately, and we find out things, and sometimes we've actually caught in criminals that way.
Absolutely brilliant. And as you say, you know, the recent the insurrection that took place in July. So has Amzinjo fully recovered, Zakir?
Super, alhamdulillah. Amzinjo has, I wouldn't say fully recovered, but it has recovered. Compared to before, Amzinjo was really, really flattened. But alhamdulillah, shukar alhamdulillah, we have gotten back onto our feet. We've taken the next step. And all I can say is that we leave everything in Allah's hands now.
Now, I'm going to share a story with you. Someone that really loved me in Amzinjo was Chota Mota, rahimullah. He simply loved me. He should phone me every Thursday just to talk to me for 1 hour and have, he said, Shafat, you put a smile on my dial. And, you know, he made this big painting for me, which I still have now. And he said, this is for your dawah work and so forth. But, you know, these are some of the popular or famous people of Amzinjo, Chota Mota, rahimullah, the Kadwas. And, you know, when I used to come to Amzinjo many, many years ago, you know, being Deedat's editor, sometimes used to come to this Islamic school you had there. We should do some programs and all that. It was like a one-horse town. Now, has that one horse gone to 10 horses, or is it now, you know, different? Talk to us, Zakir.
Okay, Shafar, Amzinjo still has one robot, literally one four-way robot. That is it.
But
alhamdulillah, Amzinjo has really, really grown. Speaking of Chota Mota, one thing came to mind. He used to always have this saying that said, a new broom sweeps better, but an old broom knows the corners.
Yeah, Bathe. Hey, and what about the vacuum cleaner? It sucks all over. Zakir, I cannot leave the vacuum cleaner alone, Uncle Shaf. And, you know, perhaps a question that's running through my mind, you know, how do we ward off potential criminals from fishing venues? Because, you know, when you walk in or you're driving in, you find suspicious cars. And sometimes, Zakir, when you go up to them and say, you know what, a certain individual said you've been here and your behavior being suspicious, but then say, are you racial profiling me? Give us some tips. How do you talk to individuals to make them feel special, but just to tell them, you know what, we're taking precautions because recently in this area, we had a lot of hijackings and a lot of muggings and so forth. How do you handle a situation like that, Zaki?
Okay, so in my opinion, you have every right to ask another person that's basically just hanging around in the area, what are you doing at this part of the time, at this part? At this place. So if you are fishing and there's five people holding fishing rods and there's one or two guys that are either loitering around with no fishing rod, with no, literally with nothing, it's a very suspicious activity. So you've got to report it because things have gotten so bad that you've got to report any and every single small thing.
Absolutely. And as you said, don't be shy, because that questioning could save a life or two. And also, perhaps, you know, we got a few minutes to go here. Recalling the fishing calendar of this year, we already in December, and, you know, it's the 11th already. What were the highlights for you? What's, you know, in the fishing calendar this year, Zakir?
Okay, so in the fishing calendar, in terms of the fishing calendar, there's many factors that I use. So I'm going to share this with you guys. There's an app called Windy. That app is a brilliant, brilliant app. It's got everything that you need to know before you go fishing. It updates all the time. So it gives you live updates. That's number one. It tells you the water temperature, the water pressure, moon cycles, wind directions. It's absolutely easy to use. And Shukar Alhamdulillah, it's been very, very accurate for me.
Well, there's it. I know another good friend of mine loves that app also. And then finally, before we let you go, a recipe that you can share with the Ummah this morning, Zakir.
Okay, so Arishifat, all the women folk, you and me, and what can I say? A chocolate for the secrets I'm about to spur.
Yeah, so you want to get out the easy way?
The easy way out, and you will never taste food like this. So anyway, in terms of recipes, so I'm a steak man. I'll choose steak over anything, any day, any meal, all the time. So I've got a very, very good steak spice. So if you have like your fillet steak and you decide, okay, you know what, I want to put it on a dry spice, no problem, perfect, 100%. I'm not sponsored by Robertson or anything, but I'm just going to say that Robertson's steak and chop spice and the barbecue spice work excellent for mutton and for any red meat. That's number one. Number two is if you put butter, ginger, garlic, and lemon juice, and you create a basting sauce with that, and you paint it onto the steak, when it is almost done, it is to die for, literally. The second one would be fish.
Mm-hmm.
Fish, generally people grill them and things like that. I'm a fisherman, but I don't really like fish at all, to be honest. The only fish I eat is hake, and that's about it. But I have a cousin that is, he's so passionate about food and things like that. He creates this fish. He takes his fish, he cleans the whole thing out, and he stuffs the fish with vegetables and, you know, like corns and peas, mixed vegetables. And he's actually got the needle and the cotton that the stitching that the doctors use to stitch, and after he fills the fish, he stitches it back up with that, and then he grills it.
Wow! So he's a really top chef also. But I tell you that a quarter pound of steak will go well with some lovely fried chips, a beautifully masala, and I can join you. A lovely quarter pounder there. Zakir, absolutely, mashallah, having you this morning. Your parting words before we let you go?
My parting words would be, coleslaw is a must with any recipe, and coleslaw goes with everything. So to all the ladies out there, you owe Uncle Shafat and I big time. I must say I'm absolutely honored and shocked that I've been given another opportunity to be here with you, to tell you all my fisherman tales, to tell you all my stories. It's an absolute honor to me.
No, we really appreciate you, and you know, at the drop of a hat, there you were to share your stories with us. Allah bless you, Allah keep you, and keep up the positivity, Zakir. We'll talk to you soon, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.